many of you have subscribed to the emails from the universe? Anybody besides me get those emails? Michael Dooley sends them out every day. And what he tells us is little life lessons, and he woohoos us on and tells us how wonderful we are. Well, he has a book out, and because I spend a lot of time on airplanes, I have this book on my Kindle, and I was reading it, and the name of the book is The 10 Things That Dead People Want You to Know. And the first one is, we're not dead. So in the course of this book, I came across one of the pages, and he said, who was at the wheel? And that brought to mind something from my distant past, actually. It was in the 70s, probably. I got a little sticker that I stuck, foil sticker that I stuck on below the window of my car, and it said, God bless this automobile. This is God's car. God's hand is at the wheel. His wisdom chooses the way. God's law of order and right adjustment is manifest in all its mechanism. No fear alarms its occupants, for God's presence blesses them with the spirit of peace. The driver of this car is an emissary of spirit. God's wisdom inspires in him or her alertness, good judgment, and quick decision. God's patience gives him temperance and courtesy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him and directs him in all his ways. And every day when I'd get into my car, I would touch that little sticker. I don't know why. I had that car for over 10 years, and every day I would touch that little sticker. And what I know about that is it wasn't talking about the car. It was talking about me. It was talking about you. It was talking about us. God's hand is at the wheel. So in Mark 12:28, one of the scribes came near, and he heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that, he answered them. He's talking about the disciples here, and he asks, which of the commandments is the first of all? And Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there are no greater commandments than these. And what I want to ask you here is, can you tell me what is not God? What is not God? What is not to love? If God is the sum of all that is, if God is every voice and every heartbeat and every breath and every stone and every serpent and every dog and every cat and every child and every human, what is not God? And we need to love those with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. God is all there is. And I know you get this, don't you? You get it. We say it all the time. God is everywhere present. God is all there is. I am one with God. Don't we say that? And you get it. And then we know that when we love God and we honor God, that we honor all creatures and that we love ourselves as well as our neighbor, because God is within us too. And sometimes I think we forget about that, and we are busy, but we need to love it all of it, even the stuff that appears not so hot. You know, and there is a bit of that in my life. I don't know about you, and I don't understand the reason for it, but what I do know is someday I will. Someday I will understand the reason for those things that happened to me that I wouldn't consider stellar things. And I'll look back and say, oh, that was the intention. That was the reason that happened to me. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Nothing frees you like the truth, and nothing holds you back more than not knowing it. And the truth is, each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God. And when we let God be at the wheel, when we let God be the pilot of our life actually moves forward in divine order. Now, sure, we may hit a few little bumps, but isn't it amazing when you're centered in God, the difference between how deep the valley is that you move into or how high the peak is? God kind of helps us smooth out our life when we know that God is the pilot, God is the driver of this car. We get to love God, the Spirit, the divine, the greater being, whatever you want to call it. You know, you can call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you believe in it or not. It just is. And it's always there for us, waiting for us. It's waiting for us to discover it. It never leaves. It never leaves. Now, I want to point out to you in Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you shall love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And it goes on to say, "And you will share this with your children and with their children, and you will talk about it when you sit, and you will talk about it when you walk, you'll talk about it when you eat, you'll talk about it when you lay down, and you'll talk about it when you rise up." But please note, it says you will love God. It does not say you will believe in God. It does not say you'll be loyal to God. It does not say that you're going to fear God. It does not say that you're going to worship God. What it says is you need to love God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole being. And that is the purpose of our being here. It says to love God, and Jesus said to us, all of us folks are individualized incarnations of God, so we get to love one another as well. We get to practice love. He certainly did not say we get to understand God. How many of us here could even imagine understanding God? Because God is so vast that none of us in our human form has the capacity to understand all that God is and all that God does and why these things happen to us. It does not say we need to approve of everything that we see. It doesn't have to say that we have to appreciate the earthquakes or the forest fires or the floods. That's not what it says. It doesn't say we get to judge those things. It says we get to love God with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul. And we know that God is love and God is life and God is joy. And there's nowhere where God is not. Nowhere. Can you show me somewhere where God is not? There's a Hindu story about one of the proponents of the bhakti path, which is the path of love and devotion. And the gentleman's name was Tulsida. He was a 16th century poet. And Huston Smith says in his book, The World Religions, early in his marriage, Tulsida was very fond of his wife. And one day she went to visit her parents. And at noon, he showed up at his parents' house, at her parents' house, because he couldn't stand not to be with her. And she said, "How passionately attached you seem to be to me. If you were as attached to God as you are to me, you could reach him in no time." Now, this gentleman, Tulsidas, agreed, and he is credited with discovering the bhakti, love and devotion, method in Buddhism or in Hinduism. But think about it was really his wife, you know? It was really his wife that pushed him to that. The principle is that all of that deep love and devotion that we give to the divine is what draws us closer and closer to the truth. And isn't that true? The more we can love, the more we open ourselves to be love, not to be loved, but to be love personified, the more the world opens up for us. Vincent van Gogh says, "The way to love God is to love many things." The way to love God is to love many things. The way to love God is to open yourself to the world of love, the world of fullness, the world of reality. There are so many times and so many ways to stand in awe of that powerful presence of Spirit, aren't there? Think about this. Just think about this. As a general rule, if I cut myself, it heals. Now, I don't have to do anything to create that healing. It heals. It's just the way it is. the flesh knits back together, the bones mend. All the medical and surgical procedures in the world don't heal you, do they? What they do is they give you an opportunity to allow the Spirit to heal through you. They make the way a little easier. But the doctors themselves are not the ones who heal you, because if God was not there, you wouldn't be healed. You would not be healed. God is at the wheel. God is that force behind the healing. And that same healing power, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, moves through our human world, and it allows us to recover from our grievous losses. Our parents, our children, our spouses, our grandchildren, our friends, our co-workers. Many people are taken from us. We have divorces and relationships that end, and we suffer. We suffer this grief and this loss so powerful that we think we can't get out of bed today. We've all had that experience, haven't we, where we have been so sad it's hard to even get up. And you know what? With a little bit of time, with a little bit of faith, God helps us to move through that. It helps us to understand that when we suffer grievous losses, that eventually the pain melts into memory. And after all, what Dooley says to us is, just so you know, we are not dead. We're here. We're watching you. We're moving on with our lives, and we want you to move on with yours as well. And our betrayed and broken hearts continue beating, because God is present within each one of us. And then there's this natural world, the world around us that beats, that moves with us. It's teeming with life. It's teeming with beauty. It's bursting forth with new growth. Isn't it? Always there's something new happening. But don't just look at the world. Look at what's creating the world. Look at what's making these things happen. I can't do it all alone. But with the power and presence of Spirit, the earth seems to heal itself as well, does it not? Listen to these lines by Mary Oliver. I went down all alone to the black pond, slow summer day, no one around, not even a bird singing, not a wind awake, nothing. Yet nothing would convince me that I was alone. If God exists, he isn't just butter and good luck. He isn't the summer day and the red rose. He's the snake. He's the mouse. He's the hole in the ground for which thoroughness, if anything, I would adore him if I could adore him. Mary Oliver knows that we should love God, and we get to love God. Think about it. We get to love God because of all the creatures that God creates. Look what we have here. We have the moose, and we have the polar bears, and we have the otters, and we have the seals, and we have all of these amazing creatures that inhabit Alaska, and we are here to see them. That's the best part, isn't it? We are here to see those creatures that God has created, and we are one of those creatures that God has created. How great is that? How great is that? And they're such grand creatures. But think about this. God also creates those little mites that live in your eyelashes and those little bacteria that live in your intestines. There is a divine plan for everything. You know, we think we know the answers, but when we really think about it, think of what is involved in making just one person's life function. Bacteria in your system and breathing and the blood coursing through your veins and all of those things that are life to us, and we take them for granted. We take them for granted. What amazing things God does for us. And they function way beyond my comprehension to understand. Maybe some of you may be a little more into the biology of it all, but I really don't understand why all of these things work the way they do. They are designed to be magnificent, and how they work is perfect. Ernest Holmes in Science of Mind says, "Try to sense the infinite life around and within you. This life is already fully expressed and complete. This life is your life now, and the life of all that you do, say, or think. Meditate upon this life until your whole being flows into it and becomes one with it." And I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to repeat this. Try to sense the infinite life around and within you. This life is already fully expressed and complete. This life is your life now. And the life of all that you do, all that you say, or all that you think. Meditate upon this life until your whole being flows into it and becomes one with it. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? And think about this. Even where there is injustice and cruelty and people suffer beyond our imagination, that happens. And we hear about it. We see it in the news all the time. But the part that we seem to miss is that spark of rebellion, that spark of life within each and every one of us that keeps the human race from being extinguished. We know whose image and likeness we are made in, don't we? We know we are made in the image and likeness of God. And we live in a time right now where every person, every type of person, will demand their due as bearers of the image of God. It is why Martin Luther King said, "The arc of the universe is long, but it does bend towards justice," meaning that there is something true and real and divine in all of our imperfect but consistent steps that we are taking every day to create a world that works for everyone. Isn't that what we espouse here? We want to create a world that works for everyone. Nelson Mandela, think about Nelson Mandela. He was imprisoned for years and years and years, and he never lost his spiritual attachment. He never lost it. And he came forward to be a great example and a leader of his people. In the Science of Mind, it says, "We cannot be born of the Spirit unless we do the will of the Spirit. And the will of the Spirit is goodness, peace, mercy, justice, and truth. It is conscious union with God." Whenever we have fires or earthquakes or tornadoes or all of those natural disasters that we have, the truth of many people comes forward, doesn't it? They get out their boats or their canoes or their kayaks and they rescue the people off the roofs, or as recently happened here, they open their minds and their hearts and their pocketbooks, don't they, to help the people devastated by the fires. The truth of who we are, God's people, comes forward at that time. God is at the wheel. At that time, God is at the wheel. God is expressing itself through each and every one of us. And what do we say? What can I give? What can I do? How can I help? The truth of God is love, and each one of us is an individualized expression of that love. And I love it. I love it that people can change their lives and start over. Don't you just love it? You know, there are people who have quit smoking, quit drinking, quit drugging, doing all of these things because they have made the conscious choice to live life differently. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but, you know, I've screwed up in my life a time or two, maybe once. And I needed a do-over like you had when you were a kid. I need a do-over. And God gave me another chance. and God gives you another chance. We get to do do-overs and start again. We get to create a better life for ourselves. I am so grateful. I got to tell you, I am so grateful for that divine presence always being there for me. You know, it never moves. It's always there. We move. We walk away from it. We hide it. We don't look at it because, you know, we're too busy having fun. But it's always there waiting for us, knowing that we're going to come back. You know, it's there for us. And it gives us a chance to begin again. And every single one of us wants to be able to begin again. We are the one who wanders, and it just patiently waits for us, saying, yep, she'll be back. He'll be back. In Science of Mind, it says we must all begin right where we are. And most of us will be compelled to get in our healing work with a mechanical process. You know, we take these classes and we follow the rules, the steps of treatment. We have this mechanical process that we follow that helps us to get where we want to be. We should take the highest thought that we have and enlarge on this consciousness until it embraces a more vital concept of reality. And how about that feeling of compassion? Do you ever wake up in the morning and you just feel good and you don't know why? You don't. I mean, we all wake up in the morning and this aches and that aches, and we have all these excuses for it. But don't you sometimes just wake up in the morning and you feel good? Life is good. God is good. This is great. I love life. Nothing special is happening. I just feel good. We are part of a creation that surrounds us, embraces us, supports us, and loves us. And sometimes we can clear our minds and our hearts enough to feel it, to really feel it. And don't we, and we care about people, don't we? We all care about people. We probably care more about the people that we know better than the people that we don't know. But we have within us the capacity to expand our caring. We have within us the capacity to embrace a larger community of people, to embrace all life. I love God and I love life. And isn't it amazing when I get to know you, I get to know more about you, I get to know him, I get to know about more about him, that I get to learn things I would never have expected. It's always amazing to me to take someone that you think you know and then have them start telling you the story of what happened 20 years ago, and you think, I never would have guessed that about that person. Who would have ever guessed that happened? God is a part of our human heart. And when we listen to that divine presence, when we become open and receptive to the world around us, we get to learn so much. We get to embrace so much. We get to move beyond pain and move into a space where we can love all things and embrace all things. You know, God shows up for us. It shows itself, himself, herself, whatever self. It shows up for us in many, many ways. And all of us have had, like Jacob, our dark night of the soul where we've wrestled and argued with God. Who wins? You know, doesn't God always win? God's world is perfect, it says in Science of Mind, and this is the principle we get to demonstrate. Spiritual things must be spiritually discerned, and we are ready and willing spiritually discerned. We will find a response from the invisible into the visible. Let us do our work consciously and thoroughly and leave the result to that law which is perfect. And doesn't that happen for all of us? I don't know about for you, but when you have something that you think you've spiritually discerned, you have the proof show up in your life for you. You know, you think you know the answer, and something works for you, it works. The proof shows up and you say, ah, God, I see it now. You were right. You were always right. I love God. I love life. I woke up this morning. Everybody didn't, you know? It is the gift of life, this body, these 10 fingers, those 10 toes. My face wet with tears when I'm listening to the song. My face as it's bursting into smile when something happens that makes my heart sing with joy. I love these people. I love all of you. I love this church. I love this building. I love Anchorage, Alaska. I love my life. I love this glorious and beautiful day. All of this. All of you. When we love with all of our hearts, the God within and the God without, then we allow a power greater than we are to be at the wheel of our life. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? We want that path to be made smooth. We want to feel the love and the joy that is our birthright. We want those things. We want to bathe. We want to bathe in love. We want to bask in the sunlight of the divine, don't we? We want to feel. We want to just feel good sometimes, you know, and for no reason at all. We want love to be the reality in our lives this day and every day. We embody the truth because we are the truth. We co-create with the divine because God is everywhere present. In Science of Mind, it says, disregarding all the evidence to the contrary, a student of truth will maintain that he lives in a perfect universe among people who are potentially perfect. He will regulate his mind to this necessity and will refuse to believe its opposite. He will regulate his mind to this necessity and refuse to believe the opposite. God is good. What is not God? I ask you again. And so your home study for this week is to see how often you let the divine be at the wheel of your life and how often your ego pushes it out of the way and says, oh, no, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Your home study for this week is to allow the divine to steer your ship for its hands to be at the wheel. God is the driver of this car. His hands are at the wheel. His wisdom chooses the way. God's law of order and right adjustment is manifest in all its mechanism. God's wisdom inspires him in alertness, good judgment, and quick decision. God's patience gives him temperance and courtesy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him and directs him in all his ways. Please join me in prayer. Sweet, sweet Spirit, Father, Mother, God, O holy and divine essence in which we live and breathe and have our being, O Holy One, love. God is all there is. There is nothing outside of God. And so I am one with that divine presence. And if that is true for me, that is true for each and every person in this room. One with the divine, whole, perfect and complete, exactly the way we are right here and right now. And so what I know for each and every person here today is that abundance fills their life as they are open and receptive to receive that good that God has for them. I know that health and wholeness vibrates in every cell and fiber of their being. I know the truth of who they are is love and light and joy, and it permeates their life and all of their affairs. I know that each and every interaction is God interacting with God, and it is good, and I give thanks. I give thanks for that divine presence in our lives in this moment. I give thanks that God is at the wheel steering us through this thing that we call life. I give thanks for that powerful presence that breathes us. I give thanks for this day, for its beauty and for its joy. I simply release this word to the working of the law that always and only says yes. Please join me in affirming, and so it is. Amen.